Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. What a day it is today. It's the Herd live in Los Angeles. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. Do you know, Joy, our show is sold out?
Yes.
For this year already. I have a call with two advertisers today pleading if we could find room for them to be on the show. And I may comply. I'm in the mood today, a giving mood, to allow you to be on this juggernaut of a broadcast. Joy Taylor is joining me.
We do a good show.
I had a California dinner party last night. Very small, social distancing, and people talking very positively about your contributions to everybody likes Joy Taylor.
Thank you.
They like Joy Taylor.
It's good to be liked.
It is good to be liked. It is. It's even better to be loved.
It is, but I'll take like. In today's environment, I'll take like.
That's
good
right
for me.
Thank you. Good enough. Greg Colsell in a couple of minutes. By the way, I saw this article. I don't know who wrote it. I didn't want to know who wrote it because it's not great. And I don't want to be out there hammering media people. But somebody wrote it, and I really don't know who wrote it. Ranking the NFL playoff offenses 1 through 14. Which team's offense do you trust the most? It's based on trustworthiness. It's got Kansas City number one. What? It's not the most dynamic. Not the highest ceiling. Trustworthy? Have you watched them play? Why couldn't they score any points against Atlanta and their horrible defense? Brady picked them apart twice in the last 3 weeks. Kansas City struggled with that defense. Trust is about consistency and production. If I said, well, right now, which one of your kids do you trust with the money? You'd say, well, who's consistently most mature? Trust is all about consistency, not talent. There's a lot of people with talent I don't trust. Trust is, what do you get every day? What do you get every week from your kids, your boss, your coworkers? Aaron Rodgers has had one bad game all year. Number one is Green Bay. I trust Aaron Rodgers more than anybody. Number two, Baltimore is on fire in December. Buffalo Bills, 10 straight weeks of dynamic performances. This isn't a movie poster question. If it's a movie poster, Kansas City wins. Fastest receiver, greatest tight end talent I've ever seen, most clever play designer, and the crazy talented Patrick Mahomes. They are the best movie poster in the NFL for any offense. But Patrick Mahomes' last five games, he's got 6 turnovers. He had 2 in all the other games combined. Patrick Mahomes' last 4 games, passer rating under 90, completion percentage 60? How's that possible with that offense? By the way, in December, he took more sacks. In December, they scored fewer points. Trustworthiness is about consistency. It's not a movie poster. We're not asking most dynamic. We're not asking highest ceiling. Green Bay and Buffalo's offense, I trust way more than even when Kansas City's offense is great, it's usually great for a half. They have these spurts. They have these Golden State, Kevin Durant, Steph Clay spurts. They're not great for the entire game, but for like 7 minutes, Durant, Clay, and Steph got hot, and you're like, okay, we'll see you tomorrow night. Game over. Thanks for flying United. That's what Kansas City, even in the games they win, they fall behind. So let's go to Greg Colsell, 41 years, NFL Films, joining us now live. Speaking of trustworthiness, I would have sworn, if you'd have told me a month ago, okay, Seattle's running backs are going to get healthy, I would have said, all right, baby, this offense is going to fly to the moon. I've watched Seattle 3 weeks in a row, Greg. What is wrong with this offense?
Well, I think it starts with Russell Wilson, and now they're trying to figure out what they should be, Colin, because obviously the first 6 or 7 weeks, it was less Russ Cook. He cooked. He's not been very good over the last month or so. So the pass game right now is kind of the perfect negative storm. Wilson's not seeing things clearly. The O-line struggles at times to protect. Wilson now perceives pressure. The result is there's no rhythm. There's kind of an undisciplined randomness to Wilson's play right now. Now, he can make plays that way because of his high-level second reaction ability, but he's not played well. Keep this thought in mind. In the last four games, DK Metcalf has not had a reception of 20 yards. Wow. Think about that for a minute. Wow. There's been no big play element to their offense over the last four games and even going back further.
Wow, that's interesting. That's why I've said if you're a better, Rams and a bunch of points is interesting. I think that game comes down to a final series. Now, everybody's going to talk about Buffalo in the Buffalo Colts game, but I want to talk because I think you did too. I love Jonathan Taylor at Wisconsin. I thought he was just.
I did.
About every third year, the Big Ten gives us a Zeke, a Saquon Barkley, a Jonathan Taylor, and I love all of them. But it took a while for this offense. Maybe it's because he's a rookie and there's no preseason. But when I watch that offense, and if I was Buffalo, I get the nightmare, which is, oh, brother, we're going to be watching the second half of this game, him running. What triggered Jonathan Taylor and the offense to finally click, in your opinion?
Well, I think they wanted him to be that guy early on. That's why they drafted him. My sense was early on, and I don't know what's in his head, but my sense watching him early on was that he was trying to figure out how to run in the league. You didn't see the decisiveness that he ran with it in college. And I think as he's gained experience and understood the blocking schemes, understood the NFL speed and the pursuit angles, I think he's shown the traits now that we saw coming out of Wisconsin. And they've leaned on him, Colin, much, much more. I mean, he's averaging close to 20 carries a game over the last six games. They've used him as a closer. They've used him to start games on their opening drive where he'll carry six times, seven times. So they've almost made him the foundation of their offense right now, and it'll be very interesting to see what their approach is versus Buffalo, assuming Buffalo continues to play at such a high level offensively.
Is the Buffalo story Josh Allen's improvement schematically, Stephon Diggs? Like, it's made a significant leap. Yeah. In the last 15 games, what do we credit that leap to?
So much of it to me is Josh Allen, because look, Brian Daboll's been there. They've ran a lot of the same plays the last 2 years. I think Josh Allen has gotten so much better in two distinct areas. Number one is his ability to make sustaining throws. I'm talking about throws under 10 yards on third down in particular that will require pace and touch, not a rocket arm. And then the second part of that is his ability on the intermediate and deeper throws to be much more precise with his ball placement. The one thing we're not seeing, Colin, and you mentioned the 10 games that they've been great offensively, is we're not seeing him miss throws now.
Yeah.
There used to be stretches where he would just miss throws where you'd say, wow, you got to make that throw. He's not missing those kinds of throws. His ball placement has been so much more precise. And one other point, if I may, patience. I think he's no longer trying to force throws with that big arm. I think if it's not there, he's either leaving the pocket or he's throwing something short of a check down variety. So those three things I think really stand out watching the tape of Josh Allen.
All right, let's talk Tampa Bay playing on the road against the Washington football team. And the question that I think is the one that jumps out to me. If Washington makes Tom uncomfortable, you got a football game. How does Washington get after Brady? Because that is the story of the game. If they can do it, we got a game.
Well, I think here's the way I think it'll play out because of Bruce Arians. I think it'll play out this way. He'll start the game getting all five eligible receivers out, seeing if they can pass protect versus Washington's defensive front with their five offensive linemen. If they can do that, and I'm not saying they will, but if they can, then I think they'll have a very difficult time on defense because Brady, Colin, is throwing the ball so well right now. It is coming out of his hand with juice, with velocity. He looks like he's 25 years old while he's throwing the football. If they can't protect with five, then that changes the dynamic of this game because the pass game is all about numbers. You want to get your five eligibles out. But if you can't protect, then now you have to keep either a sixth guy in, maybe a seventh guy, depending on how it goes. And that changes what you can do with your route concepts in the pass game. So I think they'll start with a five-man protection with their O-line and see if they can protect against that really, really good Washington defensive front.
Yeah, that's interesting that you say Brady's throwing that well. I mean, you know.
Really well.
Some of it is.
Really at a high level.
This will sound crazy. Some of it is. It's 78 degrees. He's old. Yeah, and I wonder if some of it's he's loose.
Yeah, I don't know what the weather is supposed to be in Washington, but I mean, I don't think it's supposed to be terrible.
Yeah. All right, let's go to Saints and Bears. And New Orleans is obviously the story here. I think it's a really, really talented roster. But the story will be this. If Trubisky can get in any kind of rhythm, you may have a football game. Chicago's got a good defense.
Yeah.
I thought the Trubisky winning streak felt like a little fool's gold to me. Is everybody gets hot. Tebow got hot. What do you do with Trubisky? You see the film. What do you do going forward here?
I've always been a believer, and I actually learned this from coaches early on in this business when I really started watching coaching tape and I was trying to learn from everybody I could. Coaches often tell you what they think of their quarterback by what they ask him to do and what it's clear that they're asking them not to do. And I think it's evident watching the tape now that the Bears are really trying to minimize Trubisky's limitations because he has limitations. They don't ask him to do very much. So one thing I think you might see in this game, because he does have good legs, I think you might see more designed runs. They do use a lot of play action and play action boot, getting him out of the pocket by design in the pass game. But it would not surprise me against that really aggressive Saints front if they do some more with designed run game. Because I think you need to do that with Trubisky. He's not a drop back passer. That's his limitation. And so obviously their defense becomes very important as well, because if they fall behind, then he has to become a drop back passer, and that's not his strength.
No, this is obvious, right? But it's something that's not talked about. What a coach. When I watch a football team play, and I watch Buffalo with Josh Allen, they're telling you, oh, he can do everything. There's no limitations to the offense. When I watch Tua, I don't feel that way. I just don't. I see a team coaching him, and I see a box. I see invisible borders on what they want him to do. All right, so Pittsburgh-Cleveland, let's discuss this. I think the story of this game is not on the Pittsburgh side. I think Ben's rested. They've been here before. They're favorites. Is Stefanski's out, and Baker will not have his play caller.
Right.
Will it matter in your opinion here?
The way I look at it, because there's no way to know, is philosophically their offense won't change in terms of what they would like to do. Now you're getting into specific play calls in critical situations, and that's impossible to know what Alex Van Pelt might call. But philosophically, unless their defense falls apart and the game gets out of hand early, if it's a relatively close game, we know what they want to be and what they are philosophically. It's a run game. It's play action boot. If the game flows in which they can do that, we know that's what they'll do. The question becomes 3rd and 7, red zone. Then it's specific play calls, and that's what we just really don't know. It's so hard to be predictive in that way.
Interesting. So one of the more maddening teams this year has been Tennessee. Depending on the weekend or the half you see them, I can't get that loss to the Bengals out of my head. I mean, they just were completely dominated. But you also can't get some of their better performances out of your head. So it's interesting to me. I would think they'd be more consistent because they're very Derrick Henry-led, and I get the same Derrick every weekend. He's very dependable. Right. I would think, oh, just give the ball to Derrick. I'll get the same team. But can Derrick Henry with this offense lead them on a long playoff run?
Well, they made it to the AFC Championship game a year ago and were ahead against the Chiefs, I guess, in the second half. Their defense is probably the biggest issue. Are they a championship-caliber defense? because they have two major issues. They can't rush the quarterback, and they've got issues in the secondary. So their pass defense can really struggle at times. And when your pass defense struggles, that's an issue because of the explosive play element for the opponent. But they're another team. They're defined. We know what they're going to do. Now, Ryan Tannehill's a pretty good thrower, you know, and there's always a debate as to whether Tannehill is kind of built for this offense or if he's more than that. And in a sense, we don't know, because right now this is the offense in which he plays, and he functions very effectively and very efficiently in it. But we saw last week in a game they had to win the division, where they got down with, what, 18, 16 seconds to go, and they actually called a play to take a shot, and he made a phenomenal throw. That's a throw that was not play action. It had nothing to do with Derrick Henry, and he made a phenomenal throw. So, and we're going to show that play.
Let's show it. Let's show the Tannehill play.
Yeah, here it is. This was, I think it was 18 or 16 seconds when you talk about the Tannehill play. And, you know, this was a real interesting play. He's in the gun, and they've got two receivers to the field. It's A.J. Brown and Corey Davis just inside. Now, I think they anticipated the coverage here, Colin. They got cover four quarters, which the Texans like to play. It's a foundation coverage. And they attacked this coverage. And here's how they attacked it. They had Corey Davis from the inside run vertically. And when you run vertically against cover four, that safety has to match up. That's his responsibility. So now you end up with one-on-one on the outside with A.J. Brown against a corner, an outside leverage corner, because it's a zone concept. So they specifically attacked this coverage, and you can see it with the ISO. You can see that the corner is playing outside leverage, and there's no safety help because of the route inside by Corey Davis. So my sense is they anticipated this coverage. They called a play to attack the coverage. We can debate whether it's the right coverage call. That's a different question, but they attacked that coverage. There was no bust, no breakdown. They just won against that coverage call.
Greg Cosell, NFL meat sandwich. You bet it. You play fantasy. You just love the sport. Nothing better. Greg, thank you so much.
Thanks, Colin. Appreciate it.
Joe Burrow's going to join us last hour. That Deshaun Watson trade, I'm telling you, I'm going to engineer that thing for New England. Doesn't it make sense? You can't get a drop back passer for New England's offense. That doesn't solve your issues. You're bad at tight end. You're not special at running back. You're atrocious at wide receiver. If you're New England, you have the 15th pick. And you say, okay, we'll give you a ton of picks and just get me Deshaun. All you have to do after that is just draft one receiver who can play a little.
Well, for New England, that's kind of
a big ask. For every other team, it seems very easy. It's not one of their more redeemable qualities in New England.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Get ready for a super wild card weekend. For the first time ever, it's 2 days of triple headers. Super wild card weekend kicks off Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's going to be one wild, wild card weekend.
Yeah, that first game Saturday that always has the AFC South in it, it's the first team out game. That feels like an AFC South game. Okay, so I got to ask you. So there's three games. Like, I don't think a 4 or 5 point spread is a major upset. You get into like 7 points. So Buffalo's favored by almost a touchdown. Tampa Bay's favored by about 8. New Orleans is favored by 8.5, 9. Pittsburgh's favored by what now? 5.5 on FoxBet?
6 on FoxBet.
That doesn't qualify as an upset, though, does it?
I think especially considering that they don't have their coach and all the COVID.
Okay,
stuff
so tomorrow
on.
The big game is of Colts Bills Saturday. Colts Bills, Tampa Washington, Chicago New Orleans, Cleveland Pittsburgh. One of those favorites is going to lose.
Right.
Which favorite? I just Tampa Washington feels like it's going to be Tom Brady playing at night. He struggled at night. It's going to be a big pass rush.
Which one is the biggest upset, though?
Oh, the Bears beating New Orleans. I just don't.
I think so, too, just because the Bears did have a 6-game losing streak.
I mean, if Cleveland ran the ball well and Baker and Cleveland won 24-23 against a struggling Steeler offense.
Yeah, I don't think it'd be that dramatic.
And I think it'd be dramatic.
Even
but
Washington, yeah, but it wouldn't be Saints. I think Bills, Colts, if the Colts won, that would be...
Oh, my God. I'll throw up all over my shoes. I'll just not even be... And by the way, I love Chris Ballard, the GM. I love the Colts.
No, but the Bills are coming into the playoffs because... on fire. Josh Allen's in the MVP
and
conversation.
Also, if the Colts beat the Bills, we know that's the end of the road. If Buffalo rolls, you start looking around at Kansas City, you're like, who wants a piece of that team? If you do get, like, let's say Cleveland upsets Pittsburgh, it's kind of the end of the road.
Right.
Like I want to see teams win that I feel can win multiple games. Like, I don't think, like, Baltimore, I do think, could give Pittsburgh, could give Buffalo. I think Baltimore's no fun to play.
Yeah, I think they could win multiple
but I like
games.
Like the Colts, the Browns, the Bears, the Rams, they feel like if they won, the lesser team won. And now it's almost what I always say about March Madness. Everybody's like, oh, love upset. I don't. If Duke loses, I'm stuck with Wofford the next week. So it's great in the March Madness is at its best when Duke wins at the buzzer.
Right.
The favorites win, but man, the game is what. But like Bucknell beat Syracuse. Then I'm stuck watching Bucknell 5 days later. Nobody wins joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
I don't know if the Colts are Bucknell, but I do. I see your point.
You know what I mean? Like I'm always rooting for good television and good content.
Oh, yeah. You want the better teams playing. But although, honestly, I feel like every single game is wildly interesting and is going to be good. Like, whether it's high scoring or not. Like, there's all of these games to me are incredibly interesting.
I mean, what if Chicago gets pressure on Drew Brees? And you know, they don't throw the ball over the top. Like, my thing is, with Washington and Tampa, and with Chicago and New Orleans, when you get a 40-year-old quarterback, and they're real close to retirement, Drew Brees is going to be in the broadcast booth in a month. He doesn't want to get smoked. And all of a sudden, like, there's pressure, and he gets out of rhythm. You can see Drew, like, really struggling against the Bears' defense.
Well, speaking of some of those old quarterbacks, Ben Roethlisberger has plenty of playoff experience. He's 38 years old, and he knows the end of his career is near, and he's looking at this weekend as if it could be his last time playing in the postseason.
Every player should approach this playoff game like it could be their last playoff game ever. We've used examples of players and coaches that have been in this league for a long time that have never been in the postseason, never been to a Super Bowl, whatever it may be. So I think it's prudent for every player to take that mindset and that approach. And I know I am, because nothing's guaranteed in this game or this world.
I don't think it will be, though. I don't think, you know, there, like we talked about a certain president leaving, there are certain things that you know are going to end with bumps.
Mm-hmm.
Big Ben has been so dramatic, and he's got a Favre feel to him. I'm going to retire. I'm not going to retire. I'm going to retire. I don't want to learn a new trick. It feels like it won't just be, okay, I lost and I'm done, and he disappears into the wilderness. I feel like with Ben, there'll be stories.
Well,
and
Ben is, as Mark Slayer said earlier, he has a flair for the dramatics.
Yes.
And he's also not been open to the Steelers bringing along the heir to the franchise.
Yes.
So if he does retire after this season, which who knows if he will or not, what are the Steelers going to do? They got Mason Rudolph?
Well, I think, you know, I don't know if you were on the phone call this morning. It is kind of remarkable. Garoppolo could be on the market. Deshaun could be on the market.
I think Sam Darnold would be great in Pittsburgh.
Stafford could be on the market. Sam Darnold, Carson Wentz. There's a lot. Forget
just
the draft.
About Deshaun being traded.
Yeah, like, forget the draft. There's a lot of...
The market for... There never used to be a free agent market
what
for
about Marcus Mariota? I don't know.
He had a fun game.
All right, that's
true. I don't
want
to get too crazy about that.
Fair.
It was fun. I enjoyed it. I was rooting for him.
Fair.
They still lost. I don't look. Steelers fans know what it's like not to have a quarterback. So this could be a bad situation if Ben retires. Obviously a Hall of Famer. I mean, 7th all-time in passing yards, 8th all-time in passing touchdowns, won 2 Super Bowls, 6-time Pro Bowler, Offensive Rookie of the Year. And he's had an amazing career. It's been an interesting career, to say the least. But I don't think it's the end, though. I think he has another year in
him. So I totally agree. I don't. It is. What Schlereth said, though, is interesting. Last 10 quarters, last 4 games, he's had one great half.
Yeah.
One where he threw the ball down the field. And the other ones weren't even average. It was like bad. So my thing is, when he did the rest, my thing is, I think he'll at least be somewhat similar to his second half against the Colts. And if he is, then I think they win.
They are favored by 6, according to Fox Bet. So the Bears' offense is going to have to step up to keep pace with the Saints, who averaged just over 30 points per game this season. That's amazing, actually. 30 points per game.
Yeah.
But that's going to be tough against a New Orleans defense that's only allowed the fifth fewest points per game. Trubisky is still hoping the offense will open up and be aggressive on Sunday. And he said one area they need to work on is finding a way to get touchdowns instead of field goals when they reach the red zone. Yes, field goals is not going to get it done against the Saints. The Bears got to the red zone 5 times against the Packers last week, but only scored a touchdown once, and 3 of those drives resulted in field goals. That's essentially what it's going to look like if you do that. Like, the Packers and the Saints are 2 great teams. The Packers can throw over the top, obviously, of Devontae Adams. Like, at any moment, they can get big chunk yards and open it up on you.
Right.
The Saints don't have as much of a threat of that, but they do score a lot of points. And they have Alvin Kamara, who had an unbelievable game a few weeks ago and is completely dynamic. It's going to be a problem if they don't score points when they get in the red zone. Like, yeah, that's what it comes down to for the Bears. The Saints are favored by 10.
Like, Chicago should go into this game hyper-aggressive. Go for it on any fourth down inside the 42.
Well, that's what Trubisky's saying. Like, they're going to have to be aggressive to keep pace with the Saints.
Because now, the Saints also have at home, and they have a better roster.
They're going to have to take care of the ball, too. Yeah. They're not going to be able to turn it over. So many people are counting the Colts out against the Bills Saturday, but Indy seems perfectly fine with that. Earlier this week, Frank Reich said the team was embracing the underdog mentality, and linebacker Darius Leonard says he is looking forward to proving people wrong.
I feel like, for me, there's never no pressure. And like Coach said, when you're the seventh seed, everybody expect you to fail. Pretty crazy that, just everybody said that the Bills was going to win. Everybody's counting us out. So, we just can go in there and just be us. But I think we continue to play good and just let people, everybody who doubt us, sit down, grab a beer, and just watch our defense run around and make plays.
Think about this. A year ago, the Colts would not have been allowed to be in the playoffs. We didn't have a seventh seed.
Yeah.
So, if I'm Frank Reich, I'm like, guys, we wouldn't even be allowed into this party a year ago. Go have fun. Play loose.
I think
they're
going to play loose, yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge edge there. Like, it's like we wouldn't even be in this game a year ago.
I don't think it's necessarily – and I hate the word fair, so I don't even want to use the word fair. But I don't think it's, like, realistic to be upset that people are doubting you. Like, the Bills are great. Josh Allen's having an MVP season.
For 10 weeks in a
row. And you have been up and down all season long. It's not like this is not an unrealistic situation to say that the Bills. Now, let's say that the Bills are going to roll is a different thing. Like, what happens mid-game is a different situation. And it's a playoff game. As we know, playoff football is completely different. I want to see what the Bills do in the postseason. I think it really matters. But all the pressure is on the Bills. So pressure-wise, I can see how that can play into your mentality, how you go into a game.
I would love the Bills this weekend if the stadium was full. I feel like it would just be an overwhelming avalanche of Josh Allen, Stephon Diggs.
It would be so
loud.
Yeah, so much energy.
If this is one of these games where if fans were allowed in, I'd bet.
I think they are letting some fans in, aren't they?
7,000.
Yeah,
or something.
It's not the full stadium, but. It would be a different environment.
Well,
for sure.
It's like sometimes that first round game when a team has to go play the Saints in the Superdome and it's full, and you're like, oh, this is going to get. It's just too much noise. It's too much stuff.
No, if the Bears are playing at New Orleans with a full stadium there, we're not even talking about
this. It's a 12-point spread. Game's over.
Absolutely.
Don't even fly there. Just stay home. Enjoy your family. Enjoy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line.
We had him on about a month ago. He was just stupendous. Michael Robinson, the former Seahawk, NFL Network. Sharp guy is going to be joining us next. God, I'm getting nervous. I just don't want to talk about Bills right now. Here's all I want from the playoffs. To make Nick Wright uncomfortable. And if Buffalo rolls, Nick Wright will not sleep. He'll never tell you that. He's just going to watch that, and he's just going to be like, oh, boy, we struggled with Atlanta. I want Nick Wright to have a bad night's sleep on Saturday night.
That's so sinister.
Just literally 48-8 over the Colts, and you can no longer deny, oh, good hell. You don't want any part of them. That's all I care about, making my coworkers uncomfortable.
That's a new thing, I think. I wish you have a bad night's sleep.
Yeah, I'm rooting against your sleep
tonight.
That's
rude. That messes your whole week up.
That's how I roll. I'm cutthroat when it comes to sleep.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
4 years with the Niners, 4 with the Seahawks, a Super Bowl champ, played 8 years in the NFL. Michael Robinson, NFL Network, was a quarterback, was a wide receiver. He did it all. He's joining us now live from the East Coast. So it's interesting. I just had Greg Cosell on, and he talked about the Seahawks offense. And he said, Russ isn't right. He's not seeing things as clearly. He perceives pressure that's not really there. You know Russ. You played with Russ. Could he be a little bit, Michael? Were there moments when he got out of his rhythm? You know, were there times he was a streaky quarterback with you?
Absolutely. And first of all, we couldn't have expected Russell Wilson to play the entire 16-game season like he started the first half of this season. That was almost humanly impossible, right? But what's happening is not only is Russell missing some things, but the defenses are playing these guys differently, right? They're not letting DK Metcalf get behind the defense anymore. They're not letting Tyler Lockett just get clean releases. They're not just rushing in lanes. They're doing line stunts and things like that to confuse Russell Wilson. So this Russell Wilson offense had to kind of have an identity shift. They had to change some things up. They're running the ball a little bit more, and Russell has started to take what the defense gives him. Check the ball down, throw the ball a little bit shorter, and I think in the last week or so, he started again to push the ball down the football field. But as long as this Seahawks offense takes what the defense gives them, and they're close in the fourth quarter, Russell Wilson will always give you a chance to win late in the game.
So I want to talk Lamar Jackson. He's won 81% of his games. I love him. Yes. Of the 12 quarterbacks drafted in the last 3 years in the first round, none have won a playoff game. But all I hear is, none of them, but all I hear is, well, Lamar's got to win a playoff game. And I'm like, first of all, if he doesn't, so they're going to pay him. Secondly, though, I think he's a little bit of a victim of himself now. He was so dynamic, we just raised the bar on him. We just said, okay, you're going to be way up here. And it's like, okay, Bill Parcells, Peyton Manning struggled in the playoffs. You've been in playoff games.
Yep.
It's hard. Yep. Where are you today with Lamar Jackson, his game, his evolution, where he's at?
Yeah, Lamar's a special player, but Lamar has to understand his ceiling is going to always be a little lower than what his possible potential could be. Why? Because I think until Lamar gets in his head, I am going to have to win games specifically from the pocket at some point. I'm going to have to do that. And I have to prepare all offseason to be able to do that. Running the football is easy for Lamar. You know, seeing the entire field, staying healthy, all those things, that's easy. That's what this kid has been doing his entire life. But when you get into the playoffs, you're talking about the best of the best. You're talking about, you know, good on good. And they're going to stop the running ability of Lamar Jackson, partly not just from a defensive standpoint, but the opposing offense. That's what the Tennessee Titans did last year. That's what they did earlier this season. They got up on this Baltimore Ravens offense and literally played the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson out of that running game plan. So Lamar Jackson threw the football a whole lot and they lost the game. Until Lamar Jackson can beat a team with his arm, throwing the ball down the football field, outside the numbers, accurately, he's going to always kind of have this question mark about winning in playoff games. Now, it doesn't surprise me that, you know, Lamar Jackson may be one of the only quarterbacks who gets the issues about not winning playoff games.
Yeah. I root for young quarterbacks, especially when the avalanche of negativity is around him. So I find myself rooting for him. Now, I think Bruce Arians, in my opinion, faces the most pressure in the playoffs. I really do. Listen, Tom's never gone in as a wild card guy. Tom always wins the first round. Tom's been great. The more this offense looks like Tom's, the better
but
it
Colin,
is. Huh?
We don't regard Bruce Arians as the GOAT of coaching. So why would he be under the most pressure? I think Tom has a little bit more pressure than Bruce Arians. Can he win a championship without a Bill Belichick, even though we already seen Bill Belichick can't win no championship without Tom Brady, right? You know what I'm saying? But at the end of the day, I don't think Bruce Arians is under the amount of pressure that Tom Brady is. I think Drew Brees is the guy under the most pressure. I mean, how do you have all of these passing records? regarded as one of the top quarterbacks to ever play. And what? You only got one Super Bowl? How many MVPs do you have? Like, how come you don't have more of the team success? You're highly paid. You made sure you got your money throughout this entire deal, right? How come you don't have more championships? I would have expected a guy who holds that many passing records to have more championships on his resume. I think Drew Brees is under the most pressure.
That's good. So you've been in enough playoffs, and you were in playoffs with like Harbaugh and Pete Carroll. These guys are like high energy. Tell my audience the difference between the Browns Steelers playing week 17 and the Browns Steelers playing in the playoffs, the intensity of the playoffs. Because I don't think the audience, you know, you just think you played 6 days ago, you're going to play again. How does it change for you?
Yeah, it's totally different. I mean, right, you know, I played fullback in the league, and having to go up against those same linebackers, yeah, one may think, oh, yeah, you know, I know how these guys are going to hit me. But at the end of the day, they know how you're going to approach them too. So you got to change some things up. And you're talking about rematches in the playoffs. Forget that. What about just playoff football to begin with? Actually, Colin, when I first went to the playoffs in 2010, my very first playoff game was that Beastquake game, Seahawks. We played the New Orleans Saints at the time, and we beat them. We weren't supposed to be there. We weren't supposed to win that game. But the intensity of the playoffs, I remember being at the line of scrimmage, and you could almost cut the pressure with a butter knife, man. It felt so thick being on the football field. And I had to change how I prepared for football games, because I prepared so much for that playoff game. It taught me how to prepare for every game the rest of my career. So, yeah, playing the team that you just played a few days ago, there are going to be some familiarities and similarities and things you can call, some experiences you can call on. But it's the playoffs, guys. There is no tomorrow. You don't get to go into the building on Monday and game plan if you lose. You go into the building on Monday to turn in your pads and your notebook and clean out your lockers if you lose this next game.
By the way, you surprised by Brady this year? I mean, it was pretty darn good near the end. Are you a little surprised by it?
No, I'm not surprised. When Tom Brady first got to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I had always said, you know, they may not win a championship in this first year. It's the second year I was looking at, just simply because Tom Brady's a chemistry guy. He's a guy that has to, you know, bring that culture with him. It's tough to change an entire organization in one season, especially a season where a global pandemic is going on and you couldn't just be with your guys in the offseason. So I always thought the more successful time for Tom Brady would be the second year of that two-year contract. But they're in the tournament this year, Colin, and at the end of the day, we've seen the ebb and flows of this team, and I think it was at first a little bit of a philosophy clash, right? Bruce Arians, Byron Leftwich, they like to push the ball down the football field. Yes, Tom Brady has the arm to do it, but he's used to that matchup type of offense where, you know, you take what the defense gives you and you get the ball down the football field and you play complimentary football. That's just not what Bruce Arians has been about through his entire career, and I think throughout the season, you've seen both sides, Tom Brady and Bruce Arians, those got kind of merged those philosophies together, and now they're getting the ball to all those playmakers on the outside. You saw last game against the Atlanta Falcons. I mean, Antonio Brown just went off, and I expect to see his reps to go up and his impact on this offense to be even more throughout the playoffs.
Good stuff. His Twitter address is at Real Mike Rob. He's on NFL Game Day morning, Saturday, Sunday at the NFL Network. I love having him on the show. Good seeing you again, man. Love it, Michael.
Thank you, brother. Anytime.
You bet. It is interesting. He talks about that Saints Seahawks game. I always feel like if you're an offensive player, like I get defense is basically about blowing stuff up. You can, you know, you're just trying to. You're trying to create chaos as an NFL defensive player. But an offensive player is about choreography. And it's like, it's amazing. If you go back in the history of the playoffs, it's an amazing what an offsides can do. I mean, D4 jumps offsides or the Chiefs beat the Patriots. Like, it's a lot of it's pre-snap. Like, are you assignment? Are you ready? You can see why teams get tight. You know, you come in, like the Colts this weekend. Total house money. They're a 7 seed. Buffalo's got all this heat. They're at home. They're big favorites. I'm talking myself into nausea right now. I'm not even that Buffalo thing.
I think we need live cams on you and Nick Wright during that.
I'm gonna
Buffalo
do. I'll do an Instagram game during that game.
Instagram live.
I'll do it. Yeah, I'll do it. I should. I should do that.
Well, plus it's early, so you won't be
That's
you
right.
too many cocktails in. It'll be
no, 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 no drinking. I want total clarity on these games. No alcohol weekend. Go the extra mile in your own upfitted Mercedes-Benz Sprinter van. You could win on Fox Sports Radio's Ultimate Tailgate Rig Sweepstakes. You have until January 24th to enter and get official rules. Go to foxsportsradio.com. Mercedes-Benz vans.